This is Digital Story Podcast number 542, July 26, 2016. Today's theme is The Cameras of Summer. I'm Derek Story. Life is much different during the summer months compared to the rest of the year. I don't wear proper shoes most of the time. Long pants are reserved for business meetings and going out to dinner. And my wardrobe of camera gear definitely changes too. And that's the focus of today's podcast. So I'm pretty darn active this time of year, and I'm not in my 20s anymore, but I definitely still get around. I ride my bike for all my errands around the studio here, which is really cool. Those of you that have been here, you know that I'm centrally located in Santa Rosa, and all around me, all the streets and paths, and there's paths that run along the creeks, they all have bike paths, or they all have bike lanes, depending on, you know, what kind of surface you're on. So I can do everything from ride my shipments over to the post office. So when I sell a camera on Etsy, which I'm going to talk about later. So when I sell a camera on Etsy, I get the order. And in the morning, I'll pack it up when I'm doing all my other kind of admin work. And I have a big messenger bag. I throw the box in the messenger bag, put the messenger bag over my shoulder, hop on the bike, and I ride off to the post office. And we have a substation near the studio here. So I don't even have to wait in one of those long post office lines. I just go up to the window because you can't buy stamps and do all that annoying stuff here. You just drop stuff off. So I just drop off my box, and then I hop back on the bike, and I go do my next errand. And I'm usually back at the studio within a half an hour, and I've had a bike ride, and I got stuff done. On the weekends, I have a trail, a mountain, actually, a mountain trail, right behind my house. It's called Shiloh Park in northern Santa Rosa, and it's a steep one, I'll tell you. I've gone down that hill, too. Sometimes on my feet. But at any rate, so during the summer months, it's a terrific place to get some cardio. You can hike up those hills and get all out of breath and everything, and then have a view over the valley below and just sort of take it in for a minute and cool off and commute with nature, and then head back down the hill and go have a cold drink. But I don't even have to get in a car to do that. I literally can walk from the front door of the house to the front gate of the park and then get right on a hiking trail from there. And then there is water. And I love water. I am the world's tallest fish, indeed. So at the studio here, again, for those of you that have been here, you know what I'm talking about. What I did was I converted a townhouse into my studio. And I did this back when the market got soft and I was tired of paying rent to landlords who really didn't seem very nice most of the time and always thought that their property was worth more every year, even when the rest of the market wasn't reflecting that. So I got tired of that whole thing. The market dipped low enough to where I had some money put away, and so I bought this place. And now I'm my own landlord. So that's cool. You know, I get two bathrooms, I get a full kitchen, I get all sorts of goodies. But another goodie that I get as part of the deal is there is a community pool here. We have our own pool. And it's great. I mean, it's great for cooling off and splashing around and all that stuff. I love it. It's also great for testing camera gear that's supposed to be waterproof, that is. And I just love having it here. And I get a chance to work out a little bit before I go to Hawaii or anywhere where I'm going to be in the ocean and requires a little bit more strength for my swimming. That is another thing that I like to do. And I'll tell you, we're going to get to the tough cameras here in a second. This one reason alone, this one story I'm going to tell you right now is reason alone why I carry a tough camera in my shorts instead of my iPhone. A couple years ago, I had gotten back from Maui, and you know, I had been living in shorts, and you know, the whole Hawaii experience. I like to continue the swimming when I get back, especially because I feel like I'm in pretty good shape when I come back, swimming wise. So then I would go swimming every morning here at the studio. So one morning I go out and I had just got back from Hawaii. So I'm, you know, in my flip flops, I got my towel over my shoulder. And just like Hawaii, I just jump right in the pool, kick off my flip flops, jump right in the pool and start doing some laps and stuff. Well, when I got out of the pool, I went over to the table. We have like a little picnic table sort of thing there with an umbrella. And that's where my towel was and my flip-flops and my key. And I was looking for my phone because I was going to check messages on my phone. Now, in Hawaii, I don't keep my phone on me. But, you know, I was kind of back in the mainland here. And I had put it in my pocket. And I go, oh, no, in my pocket. And I turned and I looked at the bottom of the pool. And I saw this black rectangle on the deep end. So, of course, I dove to get it, and I retrieved it, and, of course, it was dead. And right then I go, you see, this is what happens when you have non-waterproof objects in your shorts, in your trunks, in your board shorts, whatever you happen to be wearing. So either I'm going to have to switch to Samsung and get their, you know, their waterproof phone, which I don't really want to do that, or I'm just going to go with the camera in my pocket, the tough camera, and leave the iPhone back in the studio where it belongs, or wherever else, away from water where it belongs. So yeah, I had to get another iPhone, and that really bothered me. So anyway, okay, so that was kind of a long-winded way of getting to the virtues of tough cameras. But, you know, the point is, this time of year, life is different. Life is different. It really is. And I just feel like I need camera gear that goes along with how different life is right now. Life is a bit more rugged. It's a bit more spontaneous. You know, definitely more spontaneous than in the winter. Nothing is spontaneous about winter, as far as I'm concerned. You spend, you know, half an hour getting ready to go out the door and then half an hour, you know, when you get back, taking everything off. For a couple years anyway, my number one tough camera was the Olympus TG1. Still have it, still works fantastic. And I love that camera, and it has served me well. All my snorkeling shots are with that camera. Anything in a pool is with that camera. But the fact of the matter is, it's just everything is with that camera when I'm out and about. Because if I'm on my bike, now most of the time I'm upright on my bike. Most of the time. And in fact, I'm going to knock on wood here. I haven't had a crash for a long time. But these things happen. And if I have a tough camera in my pocket instead of, you know, something far less rugged, if I do have to lay down the bike, I'm not going to be worrying about the camera. I'm just going to be worrying about not killing myself, which is what I should be worrying about. So, I mean, it's not just water. It's all the kind of the activities of the season. And hiking, same thing. I mean, this trail that I go on, Shiloh Park, is a very dusty trail. I don't think twice about pulling the tough out in it because, you know, dust can be flying around and all sorts of stuff. The camera never gets opened up. There's nothing to open up, and it's made to withstand dust and impact and all that kind of stuff. All right. So, I mean, they're just cameras for this time of year. And I think really what I'm doing is that, you know, if you're an outdoor person, if you enjoy outdoors, but you're schlepping around, you know, your regular camera, which we all love our regular camera, you know, our go-to camera. Mine is the EM5 Mark II. I just love that camera. But I don't use it nearly as much this time of year unless I have to shoot video for an assignment or I have, you know, a regular photo assignment sort of thing. But for my banging around, no. So what I have now is I have the Olympus Tough TG4. I have the TG4. And to be honest, and I'm sorry, Olympus, about this, but I much prefer the TG4 to the new Tracker. And I took a look at their new Tracker, and it's cool and it's interesting, But, okay, I'm a hiker, not a wind sailor. And I go swimming. I don't go, you know, surfing. And, I'm not one of those high impact adrenaline junkie kind of guys. So for me, the tracker just doesn't have what I want. I want a real camera form factor. I want all the goodies, you know, the waterproof, the compass, GPS, Wi-Fi, all that. But I want it in a camera form factor. And I guess that's where I am a little old fashioned in the sense I like the rectangular box. I do. I don't want something that looks like I have to screw onto my bike helmet. I want something that looks like a camera, has a lens in the front, you know, has an LCD screen on the back and has, you know, some buttons and so forth. So I think for me, that's what the TG4 is more about. Now, let me give you some of the specs of this thing. And there are very good tough cameras out there by other folks too. Pentax Ricoh makes an excellent tough camera that's available. Nikon and Canon make tough cameras. So, you know, let's talk more about the specs because, you know, if the TG4 isn't your thing, maybe one of the brands that you're more comfortable with would be your thing if they had the right specs, okay? This has a 4x wide-angle optical zoom with a high-speed f2.0 lens. And the f2.0 lens is really important because when you're underwater, you need as much aperture as you can get. And that f2 is great. And I love f2 for shooting in low light, topside also. F2 is just a really great maximum aperture to have, especially when you have an optical zoom and it's F2 at the wide end. That's really nice. So that's something that I really like. It's waterproof to depths of 50 feet, freeze proof to 14 degrees Fahrenheit, shock proof to 7 feet, and crush proof to 220 pounds. All right, that's a tough camera. That means I can fall on it almost and not hurt it. Here's something that they added since I bought the first one, which is the 4 has raw capture. Yay. So what I do, guess what? Shoot raw plus JPEG, have the raw files if I need them, use the JPEGs for, you know, any publishing or stuff that I'm going to do in real time. Love having raw capture in a tough camera. It has live composite, which is... So, you know, here you go. You've got a camera that originally you're thinking about, well, this is my outdoor camera, da-da-da. But it has features that I love on my regular camera. So, again, I don't have to bring the EM5 to do my night shooting. I can shoot with this. It has live composite. It has raw capture. One camera... Really, just this little rectangle of a camera that fits in my board shorts so nicely has that sort of stuff, those sort of features. Underwater modes, and it has underwater HDR, which I haven't even tried yet. I can't wait. Underwater HDR. It sounds cool. I hope it works. Wi-Fi, GPS. It has a compass, electronic compass. So this gets back to the whole iPhone thing. I don't walk around with my iPhone in my pocket, mainly because if I'm going to go in the ocean, that iPhone isn't going with me, and I don't want to leave it, you know, in my flip-flop under the towel on the beach, okay? Because you're not fooling anyone, right? Whereas with the camera, I have it in my board shorts. I go in the water, it goes with me. Right, so I don't have to worry. All I have left on the beach is my towel and a hat, and I don't know, that's probably my flip-flops. If someone wants to steal those, they'd have to be like a big thief, right? Because they try to run away in my flip-flops, and they're not as tall as me. They're not getting very far. I'd catch them easily. Okay, so anyway, so that is a really nice thing. Just having your valuable thing go with you wherever you go, no matter what conditions, even underwater. You don't have to worry about it. You just have all your stuff with you. I think that's great for outdoor life. I really like it a lot. It shoots 1080p video, HD video, very nice. Here's a thing that I like. There's a couple things now, but it uses USB charging. So it charges to the USB port. Now, I can change batteries. I can bring an extra battery, which is cool. But I can bring also just my little USB charger, just throw it in my day pack. Let's say we're going to be out hiking and stuff all day. And if this camera runs down, if I've been using it a lot, then I can charge it with my portable USB charger. I can charge it with my solar USB charger. Whatever I have, I can plug it into the computer and it'll charge. USB charging is really cool for your on-the-go portable cameras. This camera has it. Now, it earned a gold award in August 2015, from DP Review. They love these cameras, and for all the reasons that you can imagine, super high-quality build. I mean, you just hold this thing. I'm holding it right now. I have the red model, by the way, which is just awesome. Super great build quality, terrific image quality, lots of functionality. The menu system is easier to use on these than it is on the regular cameras. They need to get these teams together, right? Because the guys that are doing the menus for this, they ought to help out the other guys. Come on, let's share a little bit here. A couple cool things that I like is that even when the camera's off, if I push the play button, I can go right to play mode. I don't have to turn on the camera. So if I want to show someone pictures really quick, it's fast. And then the other thing that I like, and this is again because I'm not carrying a phone or wearing a watch or anything, if I hold down the info button, then what comes up is the compass that has the barometer and the altitude and the water depth, all that stuff, and the clock with the date, right? So if I need to know what time of it is, if I need to know what day it is, that's a really good trip, isn't it? When you need to know what day it is. Well, you know, it does happen when you're on vacation. You forget what the date is. It happens. So anyway, so I have that here too. And again, I don't have to turn on the camera and go through a bunch of menus and everything. You just hold down the info button and all that information comes up so you can quickly check the time or the date or, you know, what direction you're going. if you know you got to head north to get back to the hotel, this could come in handy. It has all the usual things that you would hope that it'd have, like a tripod socket that's mounted in the center of the body. So if you're doing any panorama stuff, that's really cool. A really nice, thick web wrist strap. I don't want a neck strap on a camera like this. I don't like neck straps anyway, but really good wrist strap. So you can use it for snorkeling and all that. You just put your arm through it, and then you go swimming, and this thing just kind of, you know, floats along with you. And as I mentioned before, the picture quality is outstanding. Now, because this has been out for a while, came out summer of last year, the prices have come down on it. And so you can get them for about $349, brand new. There's a black model, and then, of course, the really cool red model that I love so much, $349. And they're also in the refurbished store at Olympus.com, so that's kind of cool if you want to go that route. But either way, I have a link to one in the show notes. Tough cameras. Whether you like this TG4, which I just can't see how you wouldn't, but whether you like this one or you like another one, they have really come a long ways. And there is something really neat about during the summer, just being able to enjoy summer and not worry about your gear, not worry about your bag left on the beach or left in the car or any of that sort of stuff. Just put this thing in your pocket and just have it with you day and night. You will get great shots. You will now have raw files if you want them. And you will not be worrying about your gear. And that, my friend, is a good feeling. In the news, Flickr ownership changes hands as Verizon acquires Yahoo. This is via DP Review, and this is a biggie, I tell you. I'm going to read you what DP Review wrote here. Telecom giant Verizon will acquire Yahoo and its web properties, including Flickr and photo blogging site Tumblr, for $4.83 billion. It seemed possible that Yahoo might sell its photo sharing site separately, as the company announced in March that it was accepting bids for its web properties. Today's announcement confirms that both Flickr and Tumblr will remain part of Yahoo as it changes hands to Verizon, which I think probably is a good thing. Verizon owns AOL and Huffington Post, a point that Yahoo CEO Marissa Mayer spins as a positive for her company's outlook. In a statement published on Yahoo today, Mayer emphasized that joining forces with AOL could help strengthen Yahoo's mobile offerings. So, boy, there's a whole bunch of us in the digital story world here that use Flickr. We have this robust, really great public group, and that's where all the pictures of the day come from that I publish on our Facebook page. I love Flickr and use it all the time. So there's a lot of us that are just going to be very curious as to what happens here. Now, as with these sort of acquisitions, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad news, and it could even mean good news. I have no idea about Verizon, to tell you the truth. I don't really know them. I mean, my iPad has Verizon connectivity, and that's about as far as it goes for me in knowing about Verizon. So this is unknown space. However, that being said, the fact that all the sites and all the properties are going over as a bundle, that seems good for continuity. It seems like then those teams, at least in the beginning, will be in place and that they'd be able to keep the doors open and everything working. And then who knows? Verizon may have some great ideas. They may improve Flickr or Tumblr in ways that we have not imagined. So I'm going to keep an open mind. Either way, though, I have to tell you, this is a biggie. This is big news. And I just saw it today, so you're getting it pretty early, especially if you're an early Wednesday morning podcast listener. Okay, next up. The third episode of the Nimble Photographer podcast will go live this coming Friday. That's right, number 3 coming up this Friday for those of you that are tuning in to the Nimble Photographer podcast. In this third episode, it's called Busted. It's called Busted. And what it's about is I explore my untimely introduction into being a Southpaw. A lefty, that's right. And how that sudden change affected my nimbleosity. So I have 4 stories about me suddenly becoming a lefty and what that did for my photography and the things that I learned along the way, which were quite a few. The Nimble Photographer podcast is available to our Patreon members, and there's a link in the show notes to Patreon, to our site. And then also, there's a tile on the digital story, on all the pages of the digital story, a Patreon tile. So you can just go there, click on the tile. It'll take you right over to the digital story Patreon site. And if you want, you can get the Nimble Photographer podcast there by becoming a supporter of the digital story, $5 a month. That's all it'll cost you. Supports everything. The digital story, the analog story, the Nimble Photographer, and you get the Nimble Photographer podcast. Now that is a deal. Alrighty. Here's something that sounds really interesting to me. So this is a leaked item that I saw on Petapixel. Ultra-fast Nikon Tele. Petapixel's reporting that a new Nikon AFS Nikkor 105mm f1.4 ED lens has been leaked early, offering us a glimpse at the soon-to-be world's fastest 105mm prime lens. The full-frame Prime N nano-crystal coating lens will have a gold ring and will not have the vibration reduction VR. Nikon's existing 105 has VR, but is slower at f2.8. Digicam Info says the new 105mm will have an emphasis on bokeh quality. 105mm f1.4. That sounds pretty good. The lens is rumored to be around $2,000. And we're going to start seeing some fun stuff like the surface because we're getting close to photokina. And with photokina being the granddaddy of all the photo shows every other year in Cologne, Germany, a lot of manufacturers really time their really cool releases for right before photokina so people can go and see them and they can get lots of press about them. So this 105 f1.4 by Nikon looks like it's fitting the photokina trend indeed. And if they do come out with it, oh, I'd like to look through that lens. Just a couple updates for you here. Have you been over to the film camera shop on Etsy? If you haven't, just real quickly, here's the backstory on this. I think everyone now that ever listens to me at all knows that I'm working on this film project that I started last December. Part of the film project, originally I was just going to shoot everything with one camera. And then I just sort of decided that that wasn't working for me and that the resulting book to me, I didn't think was going to be interesting enough. So I thought, I'm going to shoot with a bunch of different cameras because every camera kind of brings its own experience, its own challenges. And that to me, in addition to the difference in the imagery, also though talking about the difference between the Pentax autofocus, the Pentax manual focus, the Contax, the Yashica, you know, all these different kinds of cameras, all these different flavors, that to me sounded more interesting. So I started getting my hands on all these different cameras. There are cameras that I like, cameras that that I think are cool. And I would buy them up, and I buy them on eBay or estate sales most of the time. And I'll tell you, that's like the Wild West. So, I mean, I plan on working on these cameras, so it's not that big a deal to me, but I am surprised at how misleading some sellers are about used camera gear. So I get these things in, and then I would work on them. I'd get them up to shape, get them cleaned up, add new foam if I had to, new mirror bumpers. Sometimes I'd have to take them apart a little bit and, you know, replace this or that. But really get them to where they're functioning really well, and then put film in them, and then shoot with them for a week or two as part of the film project. So then, once I'm done with the camera, then I want to move it along. But I didn't want to sell on eBay because, I don't know, if eBay people are listening, I mean, people that are involved with eBay, just plug your ears, because I mean no harm here. I really don't. I'm okay buying on eBay because I know I'm going to have to fix these things anyway and put them on my bench. But selling on eBay, I'm selling really nice stuff. And I thought it was hard to distinguish my stuff from a lot of the other stuff that was there. So I decided to set up my shop on another site called Etsy, E-T-S-Y, which I really like Etsy. I like Etsy a lot. It just has the vibe that I'm more comfortable with. I really like the people that shop there, the whole deal. It just, it's like when you compare department stores. If you're comparing, Kmart to Target or Macy's or something, somewhere around there. I'm not going to get too detailed on that. You know what I mean? So I set up a shop there called The Film Camera Shop, all one word, and have a link in the show notes. And have a tile on the digital story, too. So you can just click on the tile, take you right there. And those cameras that I've been using and that I fixed up for the film project, then I move them onto Etsy so that I can sell them, get my money back, and then, get something different and work on it. And kind of keep the whole thing flowing. And it's working great. Well, anyway, this film camera shop has become a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. And I've already sold over a dozen cameras on there and have some really nice clients. And the prices are really good. I mean, most of the cameras are selling for, with lenses, between $45 and $75. And they're nice cameras, really nice SLRs. You ought to, you know, just go over there and take a peek. Just take a peek. See what's going on there. I think you'll have fun. I think it's a good way to spend 10 or 15 minutes. And if you see something you like, believe me, I've really worked on it. And it's not like buying it other places. It's really good gear. Okay, so much for that. Last thing, I want to talk about our good friends over at Red River Paper, the coolest guys in the printing business, really. If not the coolest, definitely the most accessible and possibly the most passionate, although that would be hard to measure, wouldn't it? But at any rate, I've been having some conversations with them lately, and I'm just reminded at how much their enthusiasm for printing helps keep me jazzed about printing and how important printing has become to my photography. So they have everything that you need over there. They have the inkjet cartridges. They have all the papers, envelopes, the whole deal. And they have lots of instruction. And I don't feel like I say this enough. And they have lots of instruction on, you know, how to do things, how to make fine art cards. You know, what kind of paper should you use for this or that, for a portrait or whatever. All this kind of stuff, all these tutorials, these reviews of inkjet printers from people that really know inkjet printers. They have reviews. You ought to check those out. There is a lot of stuff going on the site. To get to it, all you have to do is click on the tile that I have on all the pages of the digital store. It'll take you right over there to their site, nose around a little bit, and really discover all the gems that they have there. And then I want to remind you about their Facebook page too, facebook.com/redriverpaper. Great place to hang out, great people, and believe me, they know printing. All right, that is going to do it for me this week. I am just like so happy right now with summer, with shorts, with flip-flops, with my tough camera in my pocket. I just feel free. I just feel so free. If I didn't have to do work, it would be even better. Well, I don't know. I love my work. Maybe not. Maybe just a few. No, I'm not going to wish for anything. No, you know what? I'm going to jinx it if I do. I love everything exactly the way it is. That's the way I'm signing off. Come back and join me next week. I'm working on some great stuff. Until then, you have a great week. Bye-bye now.